Well, good afternoon, and thank you for joining me. It's great to be here with you today, and grateful to be able to pray with you. If you want to join me, the best way to get in, 888-914-9149. Our phone lines fill up almost instantly. So a lot of people waiting to get in with their prayer intentions. It's a great time to pray. This is Spy Wednesday. It is Passion Week, and we are entering into some of the holiest times on the liturgical calendar. And I think extraordinary grace flows at this time of year, in particular on the day that Christ conquered death. In fact, speaking of that, on Good Friday, we normally pray the chaplet at this time. Mark your calendar right now. Mark your watches. Turn everything back 1 hour. We're going to pray an hour earlier. So if you are on the East Coast, we're going to pray at noon. If you're on the West Coast, I'm sorry, rephrase that. If you're on the East Coast, we're going to pray at 3. If you're on the West Coast, we're going to pray at noon. We'll be praying, of course, at 2 o'clock Central Time. So I hope you'll be able to join me on that day. I think there's not a more powerful day to pray that prayer. You know, that's an incredible day. And, of course, Divine Mercy Sunday, another great day in which the floodgates of God's mercy are open. On Friday, we begin a 9-day novena. The Lord particularly requested from St. Faustina a novena of chaplets to be said. And this is a novena personally prescribed by our Lord. He gave her the intentions, told her what he wanted prayed for, and he asked us to bring to him certain souls. One day we bring priests. One day we bring the souls of purgatory. One day we bring the souls who promote mercy. The Lord gave us all these different souls to bring to him. It's an incredibly powerful novena leading up to the great Feast of Mercy. So we'll start that. I'll give you the background on it. I'll tell you, every day I'll be posting the prayers for you. So I hope you'll follow me and pray with me, especially throughout this week. But if you need to get your intention to Maggie because you can't make it to the phone, best way to do that is just to send her a post on our X account, and that is at Drew Mariani Show, at Drew Mariani Show. And you can do that. Keep sending me your answered prayers. I love getting them. I read these emails every night, and I love seeing how God is working through this chapel of Divine Mercy. So many answered prayers are coming in, and they're pretty ridiculous, too, some of them. They're wild how God is working. I'm thankful for that. And you can email me, drew@relevantradio.com. That's drew@relevantradio.com. It's the email for the show, and love to be able to share those with others as well. Maggie, thanks for praying with me. Anything you want to start off with today?
I do have a couple of prayer intentions. I just wanted to lift up a prayer of thanksgiving. My dad has now finished all of his physical therapy for his knee replacement.
Oh, great.
And they've been saying that he's been walking farther and feeling, you know, better. So I'm happy that he's on this side.
What, was this a rough go for him, or was he?
He did have a couple of setbacks, but I think he's doing good now.
Good. Back to making honey.
Good. And then it's my mother-in-law's birthday today, so I wanted to lift her up for birthday blessings.
Mrs. Carosa, happy birthday.
Yes.
Tell you, that's great.
Yep.
Oh, what a great day. All right, well, we'll lift her up in particular, and you and your husband and your baby.
Thank you.
We pray for you every day.
Thank you.
We're lifting you up. I want to remind you, of course, you can pray with me now. You can also pray with Father Rocky on Friday as well. We're going to have a special Stations of the Cross at 3 Central, when we normally pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. Hope you'll join him for that, and of course, the Rosary as well. But let's pray. I'm going to try to get a few extra intentions on today. Well, let me just share a quick email. This person says, "Hey, Drew, thank you for your prayers. This is an answer prayer. I was praying that my son got a job. Well, prayer answered. He got it from the company that he'd given up hope of getting the job from. I have to tell you, this is truly a miracle the way it all came about. Thank you for your show, but especially for the prayers, Jill." Jill, we're so happy that your son got that perfect job. God has ways of cracking open doors, doesn't he? Open new opportunities. And when things look impossible, God's not always so. Another person says, "I want to give you thanks, and thanks to everyone who prayed the chaplet. I was praying for my daughter to be able to conceive a child. Well, she just gave birth to a baby boy. And we just love our big blessing. Thank you for praying for this intention." Well, we're going to pray for your intentions. I want to pray for any mother struggling with fertility issues right now, conceiving, anyone who's having trouble in utero, anyone who is pregnant, like Maggie. I want to pray for the mother that had an abortion, the mother who lost her child maybe through miscarriage. present these intentions as we begin. And of course, let's pray for our country, for peace in the world, and especially for those who've gone before us in purgatory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. You expire, Jesus. Well, the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. There he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Our first call today comes from Nolan in Jacksonville, Florida. Hi, Nolan.
Hi. I just wanted to offer up some thanksgiving and prayer for my wife and our beautiful baby that we're going to be having. About 3 years ago, we were told that we were both at 1% chance to conceive, each of us individually. And we didn't realize at the time, my son will be six in May, that we had already had our first miracle baby. But the Lord has opened up for us and given us this beautiful gift. Our daughter will be born sometime in early July. But I also wanted to offer up prayers for my brother and my sister who are no longer practicing in the church. And especially for, you know, not only them, but their spouses and my niece and my nephew. My nephew, praise be to God, was at least baptized, and I am his godfather, so extra prayers for him.
Well, Nolan, you've seen a miracle happen in your own life. You know, when doctors say there's a 99% chance you're not going to ever have a baby, God, that 1%, can say, yes, you are. And today you rejoice, right? We're going to pray in thanksgiving for your wife's pregnancy. And let's pray with that same faith that you had for that child, for those that are away from the faith, for your brother and sister who no longer practice. You're not alone. Believe me, I cannot tell you how many people I know whose loved ones have strayed from the faith. They've grown tepid, lukewarm in the faith, or just outright rejected God. They're not practicing. But I do believe that this prayer, I believe the prayer of the chaplet in particular, is such a powerful prayer for conversion, as is the rosary. My mother prayed the rosary for the conversion of my father, who battled addiction through his life, and he was liberated and freed. The Lord told Faustina, and I say it just about every week here, one prayer that's always heard and answered, he says, is that prayer for the conversion of the sinner, that soul that, you know, is in need of his mercy. And let's pray right now. And we'll pray for all of our loved ones. Lord, for those that we love who have strayed from your path, that are in need of conversion, I bring you these souls. And I give you thanks, though, Lord, for the way you are answering prayers, in particular for Nolan and his wife. We ask tremendous blessings on that baby. We dedicate and consecrate it to your mercy as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Sylvia is praying with us in Turlock, California. Hi, Sylvia. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Drew. How are you guys?
I'm well. Thank you.
I would like to offer up a prayer for my brother, who was diagnosed with esophageal and stomach cancer and is receiving his first treatment today. I pray that his treatment goes well and that our Lord helps eradicate that cancer. I also want to pray for my coworker, Laura, who is going through chemotherapy, stage 3 breast cancer.
Oh, man. All right, well, let's lift it up. And I'm going to pray for you too, Sylvia. I know you didn't ask for anything. You're an intercessor. Hang in there, okay? You can be a light for these people during this difficult time. And I know when loved ones suffer and battle cancer, it's a cross for the entire family, for those that we love. Lord, I know you're a God of miracles. I know you hear my prayers, and I'm thankful for that. And I just bring to you right now at the foot of the cross all those undergoing chemo, undergoing radiation treatment, immunotherapy treatments, Lord, those in the fight with cancer. And I just ask for mercy. I ask that you shrink those cells, you eradicate those cells, you allow those surgeries to be successful, and Lord, you protect those who do not have cancer. I ask you also fortify their loved ones who struggle in their own way. So I pray for this intention now. I call upon the intercession of St. Peregrine, the patron saint of cancer, as I pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us. And on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And speaking of cancer, Sabina, you just came to mind. It's a woman in Delaware who my aunt has asked us to pray for, and we're praying for you. All right, you're in our prayers as well. And Julie and Jerry Moore, you came to my heart during that prayer too. I'm praying for both of you. Maggie, I know you got a lot of intentions coming in there through Twitter and our other social media outlets, YouTube, Facebook. You can leave your intentions for Maggie on all those. What can we pray for?
One came in our email that Jennifer forwarded to us, Drew. This says, if you read this on air, please use my name as anonymous. Years ago, I called into the show during the chaplet and asked for prayers for a niece. I'm also her godmother, who was living as a lesbian. She came out at the tender age of 14, and at the time, I had told her I didn't believe that she was, and that she, like all of us, has a hole in her heart that only God can fill. I prayed for years that she would come out of that lifestyle. Well, it was a couple years later that, calling into your show, she announced to me that she was dating men.
Wow.
She told me, I realized it wasn't natural. It wasn't how God intended for men and women to be.
Wow.
But she still hasn't gone to church since she was 7 years old. Fast forward to now, she is a single mom to a precious little girl, but she keeps picking the wrong men. She's told me about a man who she's gone on a couple of dates with who does go to church. He opens doors for her, treats her with respect.
Wow.
She's hesitant because she's never been treated this way, but please pray for her.
What an answer to prayer.
Oh, my goodness. Totally.
It's such a beautiful illustration, too, of how God sometimes works. I mean, I want my prayers answered instantly. You want that conversion like that, that personality, that lifestyle like that.
Totally.
That addicted person freed. Sometimes it takes time. Sometimes it is progressive. And his prayers for a future spouse. Look at this wonderful man in her life. God's working in and such powerful
ways. It makes you think, if you're a godparent out there, make sure that you're praying for your godchildren, because look at the effect your prayers could be actually having on their life.
Yeah, I remember that intention. I do. I remember that coming out of Green Bay. God bless you. Keep praying. We're going to pray for the continuation of this miracle as it unfolds.
Richard wrote to us on X. He says, prayers for my wife, Sarah, and baby on the way named Colette. Protection for both during procedure tomorrow and miraculous healing of little Colette. They're saying trisomy 18 and multiple conditions associated with her in the womb. Praying for a miraculous outcome at birth. Cindy wrote to us and she said, please pray for our priest who's presiding over the funeral of a toddler. The family is inconsolable.
No, I can imagine.
Mercedes says, please pray for two of my sisters who have not talked to each other in about 5 years now. Also for my daughter's biological brother who is addicted to drugs and living in terrible conditions right now. Angela says, asking for prayers for my husband who has been in the ICU since March 1st for gallstones and pancreatitis. He's very sick, on a ventilator and a trach. Been told that it's a long road to recovery and there's been daily ups and downs. Our faith is really being tested. And lastly, Michelle wrote to us. She said, please pray for my daughter, Gabriella. She's taking her test, step one, tomorrow for medical school. Jesus, let it be your will.
Amen to that. Some amazing intentions.
I know.
And we're going to pray for them all. Lord, I know you hear these prayers, so we bring them to the foot of the cross of your divine Son. And we're going to add Martha, who's praying with us in Texas, to this decade. Hi, Martha. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew.
Hey.
I would like to pray for a loved one who's contemplating suicide. And that's all. That's all I could want to share now, but I just...
That's all you have to share. I'm hoping you're getting the person help. Have they spoken to anybody in terms of counseling or...
I'm trying.
Okay. Well, let's do this. I'm going to get an 8... Hey, Maggie, can you look up the suicide prevention number just so I can announce it over the air for anyone else right now who's having suicidal ideation? And Martha, I know this is a very serious situation. We're going to pray. And you know what? Don't stop trusting. Trust all the more. Make sure the person gets help. If anyone who is listening to me right now has somebody threatening to hurt themselves, if they have these suicidal ideations, then please go ahead and make sure they get help. Here's the toll-free number for the suicide prevention line. It's 988.
That's actually
it. That's it? 988?
It's like 911, but 988.
I didn't know they came up
with
it.
They must have just changed it.
That's great. So that's, and the website, is there a website there too, if anyone needs more info?
It looks like 988lifeline.org.
Well, I got to remember that. 988. 988. It's very simple, like 911. Make sure they talk to that person. But right now, let's pray. Prayers can change a heart instantly. You know, I've seen it. There's been radical conversions. So, Lord, right now I give to you Martha, whose heart is heavy. I give you this soul we don't know anything about, who's contemplating harming themselves. And I just pray for anyone right now who is suffering from depression, from anxiety, from suicidal ideation, in any way contemplating maybe taking their life or someone else's. Lord, I just ask you, intervene, send angels, and I ask for healing. I ask whatever that soul wound is, that emotional or psychological wound, or that you enter deeply with your mercy, that it can be the ointment, the remedy, the balm that will heal that wound. Restore the soul, Lord, so they can continue to fulfill the great mission you've created them for. And we pray, Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Angela is praying in Sparta, Wisconsin. Hi, Angela. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew and Maggie. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I am praying for my dad, Maynard. who should be currently undergoing a heart procedure this afternoon. And he's been suffering a lot over the last couple of years from a lung disease that has now created a lot of damage in his heart. So lifting him up in prayer, and of course, if it be God's will, we're really hoping and praying for a complete healing of his heart and lungs.
Well, you know, your timing couldn't be better, right? He's going into surgery. You've got a national and international community of believers, people who've trusted in our Lord's mercy and who are going to intercede on your father's behalf. I've got great confidence in this procedure, and I just pray for you and for your entire family in this difficult time, especially for your father. Lord, I pray for anyone with coronary issues, anyone going through procedures, anyone needing bypasses, Lord, angioplasties, whatever the procedures may be, Lord, I give you these souls right now. Those with arrhythmias, Lord, I give you the heart. I give you the brokenhearted, too. They suffer their own cross. And I give to you the needs, the wants, the desires of all those who are united with me now in prayer as we pray for one another. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Grace is up next. She's in Hanford, California. Grace, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew and Maggie. Grace. I'd like to pray for my daughter, Dolores. She struggled for many years with depression, anxiety, bipolar, an eating disorder.
Oh, wow.
She's been in a lot of clinics. And this last one, I thought she was, when she got home, she was doing really, really well and was gaining weight. Mm-hmm. And now she's down to less than 100 pounds. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't want to eat. She feels like she's in a dark place. And doesn't want to see anybody. I don't know what to do. I just want prayers. I trust in my Lord that he'll take care of her.
Oh, my heart goes out to you, Grace. As a mother, I cannot imagine what you're going through, how great your struggle is. You know, I know how much you love your daughter, and the anxiety, the depression, the bipolar issues. Being in a dark place is a difficult thing. You know, don't fear. And I say this because I really do believe it. Jesus is infinitely more powerful than any sickness. He's more powerful than hell, right? And when we pray, when we invoke his name, I love what scripture tells us. Every knee, you know, in heaven and on earth and in hell must bend before the sacred name of Jesus. You know, Padre Pio talks about these struggles that we're in. He says the most beautiful creed that we pronounce is the one when we're in this hour of darkness, and I know you're in it, but God's with you. He's with you every step of the way. I'm telling you, and prayer is the best weapon that we have. I'm going to pray with you right now. We're going to pray for that miracle. We're going to ask God to heal your daughter, whatever the cause of the ailment, the woundedness is. And we're going to let her be a great divine mercy miracle. And I want to pray in a special way for you. You know, reflect on Isaiah. I think it's Isaiah 41:10, where the Lord says, "Fear not, I'm with you. I'm your God. I'll strengthen you. I'll help you. I'll uphold you. The Lord's with you. Do not be dismayed." All right? We're going to pray for you now. Lord, I put my trust in you. I put my trust in the power of this beautiful prayer, the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. And I give you this brokenhearted mother. And I give you everyone who's praying with me right now. And I give you all the different crosses, the way they manifest in the lives of so many of these different situations. And I pray for them right now. You know, the Lord told St. Faustina, he says, "The soul that says the chaplet will be embraced by my mercy during their lifetime, also at the hour of their death." So, Lord, I give to you those who most need that embrace. Eternal Father, We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Champion,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Palestine,
pray for us.
Our Lady Reconciler of Peoples and Nations,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Stay with me. I'm going to take a short pause. When we come back, I will take a look at Judas. It's an interesting question, too, and we'll explore. Was Judas possessed? Was Judas, well, is he in hell? I mean, Christ did say it'd be better if he'd never been born. What do we know about the great betrayer? A lot of lessons to learn. We'll dive into that more right after this.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, if you haven't heard, the next Relevant Radio pilgrimage is being led by Father Rocky. He's going to Poland and Prague this September, and tickets for the trip are almost sold out. You can reserve your spot today at relevantradio.com/Poland. That's relevantradio.com/Poland.
This is your hour, Judas. The hour of shadows. Oh, Master.
You betray your master with a kiss.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, it's good to be with you. Thanks for joining me. It's such a delight. In just a moment, Dr. Matthew Bunsen, longtime friend of the program, is going to be joining me. He is a prolific writer. I know you may be familiar with him. He's been on, he's the executive director of EWTN News, and it's on the faculty of the Catholic Distance University, and you can find them at, I believe it's cdu.edu, if I remember that correctly. I remember years ago I had him on. He's written about Judas, and I thought, let's dive in to the extraordinary character of this passion story. It starts here with Judas, right, betraying Christ, and this is a day that is known as Spy Wednesday. And Judas is an interesting character, one that, you know, in some respects, I feel bad for. Why was he the one who betrayed Christ? And what can we learn from his betrayal? He was the son of Simon Iscariot, of whom we knew nothing. He was one of the 12, one of the 12 privileged who got to spend time with Christ. Imagine being with Jesus on a day-in, day-out basis, right? Imagine seeing the miracles that Christ performed. We only have a snapshot of those in the Gospels. I mean, how many more did Christ perform? You know, he heard everything that Jesus said. He got to have one-on-one time with the Lord. Imagine having some one-on-one just conversation, hanging out as you're making your way, you know, from one town to another. And yet he understood nothing. What always perplexes me, maybe we can dive into this as well. Why did Judas betray Jesus? I mean, why? Was it because he thought like the devil and gave Jesus a chance to show his power, you know, calling down legions of angels? Was it because he thought that Jesus was about to establish an earthly kingdom and was disappointed when he realized, gosh, my vision of the Messiah was not what I thought it was going to be? Was he angry over the event that happened just a short time before that with, you know, the anointing of Christ's feet? And, you know, of course, he's a keeper of the purse, right? And all that money he could have dipped into, could have been given to the poor, as he said. What was it that triggered Judas to take off? You know, what was the motivation? We know both from Luke and John that Satan entered his heart. The real question, was Judas just a pawn in God's plan? Some people argue that. You know, did God want to use him to betray Christ? I mean, how does that work? Did Judas have free will? Of course he did. Some say, well, he was predestined, you know? And if he was predestined, was he predestined to be damned? I mean, Jesus said, you know, it would have been better if he had never been born. So a lot of questions, right? We can unpack them all. And you can join me too if you want to. You got a question. It's 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. A little bit later, we'll talk also with an exorcist. Some say he might have even been possessed. I'm joined right now, though, by somebody who has not only written about this, but can certainly give us some profound insight. That's Dr. Matthew Bunsen. And doctor, it's always good to talk with you. Thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, a privilege to be with you, as always, and a blessed Holy Week, especially here we are, as you note, on Spy Wednesday, and we embark on the staggering journey spiritually of the next few days of the Triduum.
Yeah, it's a holy time of year. This is a, you know, this is a day, I speaking a little bit earlier, a day in which, you know, I think of the priesthood in a certain way. One of Christ's own fell, right? He betrayed Christ. Judas was one of his inner circle, spent 3 years with Christ. And yet he betrayed him. I mean, give me some insight on that. Has anyone, I mean, there's lots of different theories, but has anyone provided real insight into why he did that? How do you see this all playing out?
Yeah, well, you ask a very important question because it's a question that has been pondered by saints and theologians, doctors of the church, everyone from John Chrysostom to Augustine to Aquinas, Alphonsus Liguori. All of them have looked at the question of two things. One is, why did Judas do this? And then the other, which is often asked as an immediate companion to that, is Judas in hell? And the two obviously go together, but at the same time, it forces us as Catholics, as Christians, to ask very tough questions of ourselves, because as you note, Judas spent 3 years in the company of our Lord. He saw the miracles. He saw the testimony of those who believed, and yet he seemed unmoved by it. He ultimately betrayed our Lord. And the motivation for that, I think, is still something that we need to answer for ourselves, because how readily can we also betray our Lord?
You wrote a great piece. I still have it from years ago. And it's called, if anyone wants to read it, I think you can probably search the National Catholic Register for it. It was called Spy Wednesday. Are we spies for the darkness?
Yeah.
I read it last night, believe it or not. Reread it. It was a brilliant piece. I think it's you laid it out so well, really makes you question yourself, right? you wonder how you betray Christ, right? And I love it. And Christ respects freedom, and you point out how he awaits our openness and repentance. So, you know, Judas betrays Christ. And we could talk about some of those aspects. What were the 30 pieces of silver worth that he got? Maybe give us some historical context, too, as we make our way through the story.
Well, what we're looking at is quite a bit, actually. And for anyone who lived in that era, it would have been something of a ransom, certainly. But what's one of the takeaways of how much 30 pieces of silver would cost? It was enough to buy a field. If we read the, for example, the account in Acts, and then certainly in the great sacred traditions that we have, the holy traditions that we have surrounding Judas and everything else, that the land on which he hanged himself was called the Field of Blood, Akeldama. And the two things that are always interesting about the 30 pieces of silver is the way that he repented and went back and tried to get them to take it back, as though somehow he could ransom our Lord after betraying him, and realized that what he had done was that this is nothing but blood money. And then in this immense drama, we have the immediate juxtaposition of Judas with Peter, of the one who betrayed our Lord, the other one who betrayed our Lord, both taking very different paths in how they repented and how they trusted, whether they did or not, in God's loving mercy.
That's so true. It's so that's so well said. You know, you talk about the Last Supper. Did Judas receive communion, Dr. Bunsen? Did the Lord give him his body, blood, soul, and divinity? How did that? What's the theory on that?
I think there's. I know that there are differing accounts for that, and he certainly was one of the 12. He, as we read, our Lord says that he who dips in the oil and all of that in the wine is the one. So I think that betrayal stands for us as Jesus says, it is the one to whom I hand the morsel after I have dipped it. And then what do we see? We have, after he took the morsel, Satan entered him. And then he departs. So again, a lot of these imponderable questions.
It's so true. Well, Monsignor, Dr. Bunsen, hold the thought. I'm going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll take a few calls too. If you want to join us, the number's 888-914-9149. Taking a look at the events of Spy Wednesday, and in particular, Judas Iscariot. We'll take your calls right after this. Don't go away.
Connecting you to the truths of your Catholic faith. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, today we'd like to thank Rosario, who's listening in New Mexico, for donating her 2014 Fiat 500. You can join thousands of other listeners in donating old vehicles, trucks, boats, and RVs by visiting relevantradio.com/car. That's relevantradio.com/car.
Today is Wednesday of Holy Week, traditionally known as Spy Wednesday, in which we see in today's gospel Judas acting as a spy for the chief priests, conspiring to bring about the defeat of Jesus. And so on this Wednesday of Holy Week, we remember the day in which Judas, as a spy, conspired to bring about the defeat of Jesus and decided to betray him to the chief priests. But we also see Jesus acting as a spy. We hear in today's gospel about him conspiring with the apostles to find a place for the Passover meal, conspiring for victory, in which Jesus is going to institute the Eucharist and the priesthood on Holy Thursday to initiate this process in which he will bring about the redemption of the world.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
It's Spy Wednesday today on the church's calendar. Great to be here with you today. It's a day that Judas acted, as you just heard, as a spy for the enemy, betrayed our Lord and his friend for 30 pieces of silver. And it's a day, really, that we need to examine ourselves to make sure that we're not betraying our Lord and our friend in any way. And my guest today, Dr. Matthew Bunsen, he wrote a great piece that really, it'll make you think, and I would suggest that you track this down, and maybe I can link over to it. It's called Spy Wednesday, Are We Spies for the Darkness? As I was sharing with him, I read it last night, and I think he wrote this back in 2021. I'm not quite sure what the date of it was. It's a couple years ago. It was a while ago. It was a great piece. But it really made me think, because, you know, as you go through this, you know, there's some aspects of it that really just resonate. Judas and Peter are two great examples. We're all sinners. Many of us can relate to Peter. We're all capable of betraying Jesus and denying him. In fact, every time we sin, we do that. The key question, though, and when you look at Judas as well, what do we do about it? Do we, like Peter, repent, amend our lives, turn to the mercy of God, ask for that forgiveness? Or do we walk down the path of Judas and despair and die. This Lent gives us that opportunity to evaluate all that. I think that's one of the great lessons of these two stories, of this story of Spy Wednesday. And in particular, we see what Peter did a little bit later. He denies the Lord. And of course, you know, he took a different path. Your thought on that, I want to call you Monsignor so bad. Dr. Bunsen, I'd love you to unpack that, because I think it's such an important aspect of this. Forgiveness, mercy, and God always willing to extend it to us.
Yeah, Pope Francis had a homily 2020 on Spy Wednesday, and he calls it Spy Wednesday in the midst of what we call Holy Wednesday or Wednesday of Holy Week. And he makes the note that he says, one thing that draws my attention is that Jesus never calls him a traitor. He says that he will be betrayed, but he never called him a traitor. He never said, go away, traitor. Rather, he said he calls him friend and kisses him. And he says, the mystery of Judas, what is the mystery of Judas? I do not know. But he said that it makes us think of another thing, that the devil entered Judas. It was the devil who led him to that point. And how did the story end? He says, the devil is a poor paymaster. He is not a reliable paymaster. He promises everything, shows you everything, and in the end leaves you alone in despair to hang yourself. Mm. Typical, very vivid imagery from Pope Francis. But I think he's also making the important point that we have the gospel account that the devil enters him. We have others who give more of a psychological study of him. We see that especially in Matthew. As we try to ponder the motivation, was Jesus supposedly to be tested? Was Judas trying to force his hand? In which case, he then was trying to force the hand of God to do what he wanted rather than to do what God wanted for him. And those are those other questions that we have to ask ourselves. Are we obedient to the will of God and opening ourselves up to the endless horizon of God's will in our lives? Or are we trying to force God's hand in our own life to demand what we want? And that's the way, ultimately, of betrayal.
Yeah, that's really well. So let's grab a call or two. And I want to follow up because, you know, you've written papal biographies. And I think it was Pope Benedict XVI, who in his book, Jesus of Nazareth, he explored the complexity of Judas's actions and his motivation as well. And we can get some insight from him as well. But let me grab a call or two. Bernie's been waiting a long time. He's got a question for you. Bernie, hi, you're on the air with Dr. Matthew Bunsen.
Hello, thanks for taking my call. My question relates to the idea of, was Judas created to be damned? Was he a pawn? Which doesn't sit right with most people, I suppose. But so my simple question is, could Judas have remained faithful to Jesus and everything would have continued the same way? His enemies would have just came and got him. He didn't need to be identified. He didn't need to be betrayed by Judas. So hypothetically, I know it is. Could Judas have remained faithful and that be taken out of the whole story and God's plan would have been accomplished without a betrayer of sorts? So that's my question. And all right, great. I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you so much, Bernie.
Yeah, it's a very good question. And it's a question that has been asked over the years. You said something, Drew, before we went to the last break, and that is that God gives us that free will. And One thing that is that cuts across so searingly all of the gospel testimony. We read it also in Acts, and then we read it in the Church Fathers and people like Thomas Aquinas. Judas chose, for whatever reason, to betray our Lord. And he therefore acted out of free will. It wasn't something that he was compelled to do. He was a participant in this immense moment, this drama of salvation history. But he was acting on his own. He was making decisions. And I think that's one of the points that our Lord was trying to make to him, too. When he says, if you're going to do this, go do it. Yeah. And our Lord recognized that Judas had free will. And our Lord recognized that he was going to act on that free will as a betrayer. And that to me is even more compelling than any potential argument that somehow he was simply a puppet. Now we have the testimony from John, of course, that the devil entered into him. But those are also ways of explaining how he had already opened himself up to that possible possession, to being so open to betrayal and ultimately to despair.
Yeah, it's such a good point. Bernie, thank you for your call. If you want to join us, I have a couple minutes with Dr. Matthew Bunsen. I'll go back to the phones in a second. 888-914-9149. Despair. Pope Benedict wrote about that. I mean, he wrote in the book Jesus of Nazareth, he said that, you know, Judas's betrayal wasn't just about the money, but it was driven by disappointment, perhaps in Jesus not fulfilling the role as a political Messiah, that Judas had this misrepresentation of really what the Messiah was all about. And I think there was a number of factors that drove him. But Pope Benedict pointed out, he said his betrayal also stemmed from a loss of faith in Jesus. He said, you know, it led Judas to take matters into his own hands. And in the book, as you know, he delved into this whole mystery of Judas's despair and suicide, and of course contrasted it with Peter's denial. But despair was such a big part of that. Unlike Peter, who wept and repented, what did Judas do? He despaired. That, to me, always speaks volumes about a lack of trust in God. What was the difference between Peter and Judas in these cases? I mean, both deeply wounded somebody that they loved, and yet despair seemed to conquer one and not the other.
Yeah, there we get into the whole question of the interior drama of their own lives. Yeah. The psychology that's involved. But the one thing that we can see that there's a lack of in Judas that there is in Peter, and that's humility. And we see in Peter a humility to recognize his sinfulness, to be very clear as a penitent, but then to turn in humility for forgiveness. Judas, who seems very proud throughout so many of the accounts in the Gospels, that the episode of we could have given this money to the poor, he seemed very proud of the fact that he was keeper of the purse. Mm-hmm. He's constantly testing our Lord, as seems to be the case here. And at the very end, then, the pride and unwillingness of him to subject himself to God's mercy and then to turn to despair. Yeah. It strikes me, again, that contrast with Peter, who had the humility to beg for forgiveness, but then also to act on that penitence. Judas did so up to a point. Yeah. He tries to take the money back, but what does he do? He again is trying to buy his way to sell or to buy our Lord, as though he had the right and the privilege to do that.
We only have a minute or two left. Let me grab Joe in Virginia. He's got an interesting question about free will, and I think this is something a lot of people often ponder. Joe in Virginia, good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon. This is my question. It's more of a conundrum for me, and it always has been. It took a betrayal to bring about the redemption. Somebody had to do it. In this case, it was Judas. It could have been anybody else, but the sin of a betrayal had to bring about Christ being killed, buried, and resurrected. Mm-hmm. So that it was Judas, so be it. And I'm not singing his praises, of course, right, but it took the sin of betrayal to do it. And that's where I get stuck.
All right. Doctor, I have less than a minute. I'm going to give you the final thoughts.
Yeah, well, it's that mystery, and it does raise the question that has been pondered by saints again and theologians. Is he in hell, or was there a way for that mercy to have been given to him? And the church has never consigned anyone to hell. So that's our hope, but it certainly doesn't look good for him when we read the testimony.
Yeah, when you have the Son of God, prior to his death, saying it would have been better if you'd never been born. Woo! Those are haunting words. Hey, doctor, thank you. I am very grateful to have you here. Have a blessed Triduum, okay, if we don't talk.
You too. It's
great Easter.
Great to be with you.
All right.
You take care.
Dr. Matthew Bunsen, be sure and check him out. Oh, I should have gotten his wife's Instagram. She's got a huge following. Next time, doc. We'll catch up.